And God never said in His Word that He didn't want you to ask of Him. And so I don't think that Bobby would mind me sharing this, but a couple weeks ago, Bobby came up and he said, I would just like to understand the Word better. I want God to open up my understanding because I don't understand it in full. And, you know, Bobby, right when you said that, that hit me right in the heart because I thought, you know, He could have asked for anything. But you asked to be... Well, hey, you better ask for that next. He said, I should have asked to win the lottery. Well, I mean, you know, whatever. Now, if you're a very hyper-religious person, you're going to have a problem fitting in here, okay? Because I'm going to joke around with you. I'm going to make you laugh. And at the end of the day, I'm just not that uptight about things. And so God spoke to my heart, Bobby, and He said, I want you to buy Bobby the nicest Bible for him, but that he can understand. And so I have been looking for you a Bible. And when I saw it the other day, I knew in my heart that this was the right one. And so Dad and I have both put a prayer in here for you, and we have prayed over this Bible. And I believe that as you read this, that God is going to open up your understanding in a whole new way, and you're going to be able to understand things. And when you can understand them, they're activated in your life. Amen. So we love Bobby. I'm going to tell you, Bobby has come, Bobby and Lori both, they have come a very long way from when I met them. Not that they were wonderful people when I met them, but God has done a big work in their life, and they're different than when they came here. And God is constantly wanting people to grow and people to change. And so I'm thankful that we're in a place where growth and change is encouraged. And, you know, I am going to minister this morning on the first act of worship and the first murder in the Bible. And those two go hand in hand. Now, I want to explain some things to you. When you read the Word of God, what you're reading is not a story. It's not a fable. But what it is it is a recorded event. It is a thing that has been recorded for a purpose. And people have tried to snuff out the Word of God many times, but they haven't been able to do that because the Word of God will stand on its own. It will stand on its own. When everything else fails you, the Word of God won't fail you. And that is why it's so important to put that Word in your heart and to plant it in your heart. Now, what I'm going to tell you is there's going to probably be parts of this message that you may be have a tendency to get offended about. Now, I want to explain something about the Word, because one of my main jobs is to get you to a point in your life where you think about what it is you are doing, and you think about what it is in your life that you really, really want. What do you really want out of life? Because if you get yourself stuck in a routine, you can spend years just in a routine, and you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. But see, God wants you to live your life and to be in Him with some intention. With some intention. Some people go to church every Sunday because just that's how they were brought up. They were just brought up to go, and so they sit there and they don't get much out of it other than the fact that they knew that they went. And I would like for y'all to live your life with intention. With intention. Do life on purpose. A couple months ago, somebody said, Kelly, have a good day on purpose. Have a good day on purpose. There's some things in your life that you're going to have to do on purpose, and they're not going to be easy. But God says, live with some intention in your life. Don't get stuck in a rut just doing the norm just because it's what you've always done. You need to think about what you're doing. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit this morning, but there are going to be things in this message, I'm just going to tell you, that you're probably going to think, oh, well, here we go again. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't just aim to offend, but the Word of God itself can be offensive at times. The reason why it can be offensive is because in the Word, they are full of challenges. The Word will challenge you to change. The Word will challenge you to do things different. And so I'm going to deliver this Word in the most humble way that I can. And I'm going to ask you to, if you get offended about it, I want you to pray about it, because a lot of times we mistake offenses for conviction. A lot of times we mistake offenses for conviction. I'm going to say that one more time. A lot of times we mistake offenses in a church setting for what it really is conviction.
Amen.
Amen. And I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict your heart when it's necessary. The Word says, if you would judge yourself, I would not have to judge you. If you can see in your life, I need to change this or I that, you're going to, if you can make changes and you see the things that you need to change, that it'd be better to deal with those things than to have God have to deal with you and come down hard on you. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom pastor, and I don't like to use fear tactics to scare you, but what I do like to do is read it right out of the Word. And a lot of times what you'll see is I will read something right out of the Word, because when you do that, Alyssa, it makes it very clear. I've been in services where people grossly misquoted the Word of God, and I try my very best to not do that. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 4, and we are going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to read this in the CEV version because it is very, very plain. Many times I preach out of the NIV, and I have had this Bible. I am almost 39 years old. I have had this Bible since I was 10 years old, and I have preached every single message out of this Bible. But the older that I get, what I want to know is I want it very, very clear, because you can only live out what you can understand. And if you don't understand it, you can't live that out. So you need to get to a place, and you need to find a Bible that you can understand. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1. Adam and Eve had a son. Then Eve said, I'll name him Cain, because I got him with the help of the Lord. Now, as I read, I'm going to begin to ask you some questions, because, see, as you read the Word of God, you need to be thinking about what you're reading. If you're just reading to get the reading done and you've got to read 5 verses a day, that's all it's going to ever mean to you. But if you will read with intention, God will open up your understanding. So it says here, I'll call him Cain because I got him with the help of the Lord. And I want to encourage you today to know what you got with the help of the Lord. See, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And there's too many Christians that take the credit and the glory that can only be God Almighty. So I want to encourage you today, know what you got because of God. And a very intelligent, successful person will know that everything they have is because of God. I'm very, very careful to not take credit for things that I did not do. And Lori, I find myself not being able to take the credit very often. Amen. So it says, Eve had a son, and then she said, I'll name him Cain because I got him with the help of the Lord. And later, she had another son and named him Abel. Now, Abel became a sheep farmer, but Cain farmed the land. One day, Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord. And Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. Now, I am going to explain some things In order for me to do that, I am going to have to talk about money, and I don't want to feel like I have to dance around that subject. Because just as you would go to a doctor and you want instruction about your health, when you come to church, what you see a lot of times is pastors will not talk about money, and therefore people in the pew are not blessed in their finances because there is no challenge that is coming from the pulpit. Now, in my heart of hearts, I want to see every person in this place thriving. That, and so I'm going to tread very lightly, but I do want to speak to you today briefly about offerings, about tithing. Not so I can be blessed, so you can be blessed. So it says here that Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord, and Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. There is a difference between offerings and tithing. Tithing is what belongs to God. We do not pay our tithes. We release our tithes because it is not ours. The tithe is holy, and the tithe is set apart. Now, I know that people are going, oh my God, she's talking about it again. I don't know why I'm talking about this, to be very blunt with you. I know in my heart what God once said, and that's what I've got to do. The moment that I don't preach the word that he puts in my heart is the very moment that he doesn't need me. And so what I've got to do is I've got to be obedient. In 5 years, I've probably talked about this 2 or 3 times. It's not something that I talk about often because it makes me very uncomfortable. But there is a difference. And it says here, and Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. He killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep, and he gave the Lord the best parts of it. Now, can you see a difference in the scripture between verses 3 and verses 4? Verse 3, it just said that one day Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord. There's not a lot of detail in there because there was not a lot of thought that Cain gave God when he was giving him his offering. It was, okay, I'm going to scoop up some of this harvest and I'm going to give it to God. Now, I'm going to parallel this with how we are with God. And I'm just going to say it. God wants your best. And right now, I am not even talking about money. But God wants your best. Amen. He wants your best. And let me tell you, that is a hard thing to give God. Why? Because humans have something called feelings that we usually operate by, and when we ain't feeling it, which is more often than not, we have trouble giving God our best because we woke up in a bad mood, or we woke up weird, or we woke up irritated, or we did whatever. But what I'm going to tell you this morning is God wants your best. Anything that you're going to do, the Word of God says do it with your whole heart and do it as unto God. There are too many Christians, and they are stuck in a rut of doing what they've always done, and they're angry about it, and they don't even know what the heck's going on. There's a lot of angry Christians, and we're going to talk about anger today also. So it says here, Cain gathered some things up to the harvest, and he gave it to God. Okay. Then it says, and Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. He killed the firstborn. Y'all say that with me. Firstborn. Firstborn. What does that really mean? First fruits. First fruits. Abel gave God the first lamb that killed it. And then not only did he give him that first lamb, he took it one step further and he gave him the very best parts of it. Sometimes people say, I've given everything to God. I've sacrificed everything to God. What more does he want from me? What does he want? Your best. Your best. So it says he killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep and gave the Lord the best parts of it. And the Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering. You know, the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added. I want to inform you this morning that just the simple act of putting God first, there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in putting God first. Have intention with the way that you worship God. Now, the only way that I can teach you, I can't just take Brother Larry Baker's life and just start preaching out of it. One, I don't know every intimate detail of his life. And two, there's probably things that he don't want me sharing if I did know them.
A lot.
A lot. But I can teach you out of my life. So, I was raised, I will say this, one of the things that I respect the absolute most of my parents is the passion and the way that they raised me. And I am sitting here as a 39-year adult trying to figure out just how in the heck they did that, because it is so stinking hard. If you are raising kids right now, I get it, because it is difficult. It is absolutely difficult. You spend half of your time wondering if you're doing enough. Then you spend the other half of the time feeling guilty over you had to get on to them. And you're constantly torn. So I get it so much. There's parts of, you know, you're sitting here, Alyssa, in this ride, and you're feeling like you're the worst mama on earth because you had to spat that kid's hand because they done broke everything in the house. You know, there's parts of us that we're just like, oh my God, and I get it because I that's where I'm at right now. But one of the things that I respect about my parents is that they did raise us in a passionate, God-fearing Christian home. And one of the things that they taught us is not only to tithe and to give offerings, but how to do it. How to do it. Now, Frank, go get me an offering plate, please. I am the type of pastor, I was in the medical field before I pastored for 15 years. And one of my main jobs was to train the nurses on how to use the software. And what I learned about people during that 15 years, Jill, is that if I could get people to understand why they're doing what they're doing and how to do it, they would have a better time doing that. And that's what I want to do today. My goal is not to get people irritated about their tithing, but you know what? Let me just tell you something. A terrible pastor would just slough this off and not let it go. But I'm going to just tell you, when you are given your tithes and when you are given your offerings, you are doing what is considered one of the most holiest forms of worship. Now, Tyler, I cannot preach this out of anybody else's life but mine. And I'm not saying that I do everything right, because I'm probably the most flawed person in the building at this moment. But one of the things that God showed me when it concerns the tithe, and I got this from my parents, but I began to understand it as an adult, is the fact that tithing is worship. And when I write that tithe check out, I used to just throw it in there and not think about it. But that's missing out on some part of that worship. I write that tithe check out, and then I put my hand over that tithe check, and I begin to pray over that. And I encourage y'all to do the same. Some of you, you may do your stuff online, or you may pay with cash, or whatever that you're doing. But I encourage you to pray over your tithes. And to say, Lord God, in Jesus' name, right here, this is my obedience. This is my faith. And this is me doing what the Word says. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, everything that concerns me financially, I turn it over to you right now in Jesus' name. See, it's not enough to just release your tithe. You need to understand why you're doing that. Thank you, Brother Sam. I'll take that one amen. I encourage you to pray over it. And I encourage you to do exactly what Abel did, is he put some thought into it. He put thought into it. Go with me now to Malachi chapter 3. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the fact that you would be tested and that God would test you at times. And now I'm going to take you to a place that says you can test God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And that word whole is in there for a purpose. Now, there are times, and Dad even mentions this out of his own life, that for the first 3 years of his salvation, he did not have tithing down. Nobody taught him. They didn't talk about that where he was going. But the Word says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then he gives the reason, that there may be food in my house. Now, I am very aware I am not getting any brownie points with this sermon. I told God that was going to happen, and it is what it is. If you get offended and never come back, well, okay, that's how it's going to be. But I told you the Word was going to offend the heck out of you, because it is very blunt. If you are in a place where you're saying, I don't feel like I can give the whole tithe, here's what I would tell that person: do what you can do. And God will bless that. Do what you can do. Offer that to God. And say, God, I'm not giving my whole tithe. Maybe I feel like I can't. Maybe I don't have enough. But God, right now I ask that you would make it to where I can. God, make me somebody that can tithe my whole tithe. Now I'm going to tell you why. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Now, this is God speaking. And God says, pay your tithes, release your tithes, but I want you to test me. I want you to put me to the test as it concerns your tithing. And it says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out, not just sprinkle, but literally pour out a blessing, that you will not have room enough for it. See, there's a blessing in obeying the Word of God. The Word says, bring your tithe, and then it has an adjective, and it says, your whole tithe. Because, see, God wants to be tested about His Word. And if he didn't, he wouldn't say, test me. Test me and see if I won't throw open those floodgates and pour out a blessing. But many people will not put God to the test. You will never, and I'm going to just say this, you will absolutely never, you'll never have one breath of air flow through your lungs where you've outgiven God. That will never happen. That will never happen. Now there's another part of this promise. In verse 11 it says, I will prevent. The word prevent means I'm going to make it so it doesn't even happen. See, there's things that the devil has orchestrated for the children of God. And see, God has the ability to prevent those things. And the word says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this ministry, I'm going to be extremely transparent. This ministry began and was founded on an unemployment check. I'm going to say that one more time. Why is it important to understand this? Because, see, what you're going to see is you're going to see a long line of God blessing this place. The ministry was founded from an unemployment check from my mom and from my dad. They took their savings and they poured it into the ministry till they had nothing. If there was a pin in this place and it dropped, you could hear it right now. Because, see, I hate Jenny talking about money. I can count you on one hand in 5 years that I've talked about it. But here we are. Up until just a few years, we had two speakers, and they were the original speakers that were bought in the ministry. And they were about 30 years old. And when we replaced them, we did not replace them because they went out. We replaced them because we just wanted to. We just replaced a heating and air unit in the hallway, not because it was bad, but because it was just time to do it. What am I telling you? Listen to God. People are coming up and you're thinking, why am I not as blessed as God says that I can be? If I could preach anything else today, I would be happy about that. I promise you that. It says that I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. I will prevent it entirely. I'm going to ask you to put God to the test. I'm going to ask you, as your pastor, to get into the Word. I say it week after week. You're not getting up in heaven just because you came to church. No, you're getting in heaven because you made a commitment to God and you said, God, I'm going to be yours and you're going to be mine. And God, come hell or high water, I give you my life. And God, I let you come in and take care of every single thing that ain't going right up in this life. God, it was on me, but Lord, I ask that you would make it right. See, get into the Word. This right here will change your life, but people won't do it because they think that they're too busy. You're not too busy for God, and God ain't too busy for you. Now, that part of that message is over. I want to see you blessed. And I'm just telling you, you won't live out that full blessing with ignoring this. It just won't happen. Why? Because, see, God's not going to be mocked. Now I want to talk to you about something that may just be as equally as uncomfortable, and that's anger. And what I've noticed is a lot of Christians are very angry people. I had a spell this week where I was very angry. And I let Frank have it. I mean, I thought I was on that movie, The Exorcist, and I felt like my head was spinning. And later he said, "You should have seen your face." And I said, "Frank, I had a spell at the National Day of Prayer, and I got really dizzy, and I didn't know. I thought I was going to pass out." And he said, "Kelly, it was the demon that was inside of you trying to come out with all the prayer that was going on." And I said, "Man, I think that you're right, because I really, really had a flesh fest." And I just, man, I told him about it, one end and down the other. And I hate to tell you this, but it didn't make me feel any better than when I first started it. Now, let's go back to Genesis. We're going to begin again in Genesis chapter 4. And I want to read you one more part of what I had written down. When we bring God our best, when we tithe and when we give offerings, God has an obligation to bless all that comes afterwards. All that comes afterwards. Now, Genesis chapter 4, we're going to pick up right in verse 4, and it says, "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering." So he looked at, there was favor with two categories. Number one, he looked on favor with Abel, and then he looked on favor with his offering. And those are two different things. And then it says here, "But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor." So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now, what does that mean, his face was downcast? That means that he was so angry that he couldn't even look up. How many of you have ever been so angry you couldn't even look at somebody? How many of you have ever been so angry you couldn't even go to a certain place because that place and those people up in there done did you wrong and you can't even look at them because you're so ticked? I want to speak to that person because, see, you've got to check that anger, or that anger is going to check you. You've got to handle that anger, or that anger is going to be handling you. And people wonder, how did I do such and such? How did I say that? How did I get to a point where I did that? Because let me tell you something. What isn't checked is coming out. What isn't checked is coming out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So before you said it, it was already in here. Check it. Now I'm going to read that out of the CEV version. It says, "But not with Cain and his offering. This made Cain so angry that he could not hide his feelings." Now, I want to tell you this morning that God, you will never find in his word where he tells you to hide your feelings. You will never find it. But what you will find is he does tell you to address them. And I'm going to bring you to places where God talks about anger and the believer. Because, see, He doesn't say you can't be angry, because there are two different types of anger. There's a righteous anger, and then there's just anger. "But it made Cain so angry that he couldn't even look up. He couldn't hide his feelings. His face was downcast." Some of us are so angry on the inside that our face has caught up with us. And it's very noticeable. You ever see somebody and they just look angry? You know they're mad. Look here. It'll get worse. I used to tell Dad, years ago. Dad, smile more when you're driving the buggy at Walmart. Everybody thinks you're mad. You need to smile more. And then he smiled so much, then it started looking creepy. Because he would just... And then he would go, am I smiling enough? And I'm like, yeah, it's looking a little weird. But man, let me tell you, God doesn't want his kids full of anger. I hate when my kids are angry. I hate when they're hurting. And God hates it too. Everything that God has ever done, he did it for you. And he did it with intention concerning you. And that's just how much that he loves you. Where does anger come from? Does anybody know where anger comes from? I'm going to tell you. Anger, most of the time, comes from an unmet expectation. Anger, most of the time, comes from an unmet expectation. You expected something out of someone or a place or a friend, or a spouse, or a whatever. You expected something. And I'm not telling you it's not right to expect things out of places or people. That's not what I'm saying. But you cannot control people or places. And there are times where you've got some unrealistic expectations. And when those are not met, you get angry. Somebody let you down. Somebody hurt you. Somebody cheated you. Somebody robbed you. Somebody did this. Something happened here. And see, unmet expectations. We have to ask God to help us to manage our expectations. Manage them. Anger is not a sin. Anger is not a sin. So many Christians have been taught so crazy, and they think, oh, I'm angry. I'm sinning because I'm angry. No. Anger is not a sin. Go with me to Psalms chapter 4, verse 4. What you do with anger... is whether it's a sin or not. Your anger should not cause you to sin. Your anger is going to control you, or you're going to control your anger. In verse 4 it says, in your anger do not sin. God's not saying you can never feel angry. But what he is saying is, when you're feeling angry, when that anger is inside of you, don't sin. Now, a lot of times where people and Christians have a hard time is they let other people sin, make them sin. And how that happens is something will happen. I don't know. Everybody in this place has somebody that they deeply love. Okay? Let's just say... for me, right here, right now, these two men, these are the two main men in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I've had knockdown dragouts with both of them because I'm a spoiled, rotten brat. Amen. However, I mean, I'm bad. I'm bad to the bone. I mean, I'm just terrible. But when it concerns these two, if somebody does something to them, Brenda, there ain't nothing that gets my blood boiling than when somebody messes with one of these two guys. And I mean that hot-blooded, crazy-headed, hot Italian chick, it comes out and it really gets me going. And if somebody does something mean to them, if I'm not careful, I will hate somebody's guts over something that somebody did to one of these two. Now, what does the Bible tell you not to do? It tells you not to hate folks. Okay. But I can't let what somebody does to them make me hate them. It's hard to not let other people's sin not make us sin. Because when somebody does something to somebody that we love, we want to retaliate. We want to get them that hurt our loved one. But let me tell you something. Don't let their sin make you sin. Because, see, God already said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. See, you're going to let God handle it or you're going to handle it. But when you handle it, you're going to have a whole mess to clean up. Because, see, we don't handle things like God does. And thank God that we don't. So the word says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't sin. If that anger up inside of you is going to cause you to sin, there's where the sin is. Now, sin will make you go further than you wanted to go. Sin will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. And sin will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. Some people are sitting here going, why am I still in this same mess and it's done been 10 years? Because let me tell you something. You would not address the sin in your life, and sin will keep you right where you are at. I have learned in my own personal life that anger is the bridge to sin for me. Man, if I get mad at somebody, they just better look out. Because not even I can predict what the heck's going to happen next. And that is the truth. Be throwing something. But it says, when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. You know, when you are on your bed and you're fixing to go to sleep, I'm going to challenge every person to do this. A lot of people have trouble resting. Well, when you're mad as a hornet and your blood pressure is 160 over 100 because you done got yourself so mad, well, don't think you're going to sleep good because you're not. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. I challenge you for the next week, when you lay down, begin to have a conversation with God and say, God, is there any anger inside of here? You know, sometimes we don't think we're angry until something comes up and we realize just how angry we were actually about it. But search your heart. Am I angry? Am I angry about something? Now, I want to take you to another place. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 26 through 27. Now, anybody that's ever been married has probably been given this advice. And it is this cheesy little thing right here. Don't ever go to bed mad at each other. How many of you have heard that? How many of you are married? I rest my case. I used to honest to God, think that what it meant, Mary, was I couldn't go to bed angry at my spouse. Now, you shouldn't go to bed angry at your spouse, but let me tell you what this verse actually means. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, in your anger, whose anger? Accountability. Anybody ever do anything stupid in here and you blamed it on somebody else? Well, I cussed them out because really at the end of the day, they're just an awful person. That's what I hear a lot. That's true, Brother Sam. Thank you. In your anger, Do not sin. Once again, we see here, God's not telling you that you can't feel angry. But what he's saying is, don't be sinning in your anger. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to keep him up at night, picking fights with him, because I thought that the Bible said we had to, look here, I can pull some all-nighters. Frank is not responsible for my anger, because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for that. The word says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. There have been a lot of times, Alyssa, I've tried to keep him up all night trying to fight with him, when really he wasn't the one angry, it was me. In another translation, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. See, if you're angry, you need to have accountability and say, you know what, I'm angry. You know how many husbands and wives could have a way better time if they just take accountability for their anger? I'm not saying there ain't some things that's got to be worked out or discussed, but I am saying that a lot of times that conversation needs to happen between you and God first. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. What does anger do? It gives the devil a foothold, because if you don't get that anger out, before you know it, that anger is going to have you sinning. And when you're sinning, there is the foothold right there. There it is, right there. Anybody that knows me, they know I'm not a very good faker. There's a vehicle that comes almost every Wednesday. And these people have been quite rude. And Bobby, every single Wednesday, I ask God, is this going to be the Wednesday where you let me give them a piece of my mind? He has never let me yet. But I actually feel like God has put them in my life to knock some stuff off of me that's not real good. Because, see, the Word of God tells you to love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. It is so hard. See, God's going to allow people to be in your life. They're going to help shape your character. Don't let them make you sin. Go with me now back to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start again at verse 6. So Cain was angry. The Lord said to Cain, what's wrong with you, and why do you look so angry? In verse 7, here is a very important key. If you had done the right thing, Cain, you would be smiling. If you had done the right thing. But you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you like a lion. There was something either in Cain's motivation, his heart, his attitude, possibly his performance, that made his offering unacceptable to God. And Cain knew about it. Because if he didn't know about it, God wouldn't say, well, if you would have done the right thing. See, Cain knew before he laid his offering to God, he knew that there was something not right. Don't think that you're going to ever pass less than your best to God and that he's going to think that's great, because he won't. When the food ministry began, the food ministry is the one thing in my life that I can honestly say that I have allowed God to have his way 100%. And that is why the food ministry is blessed and highly anointed 100%. Because I have allowed him to do whatever he wanted to do. But one of the things that God impressed upon me in the very beginning is the type of volunteer that he wanted working his food ministry. There have been volunteers that would come. They'd be cussing or they'd be doing this. I'd have to set them straight. There would be volunteers that would do one thing or another. But you know, the worst type of volunteer that you could ever have is the volunteer that really doesn't want to be there. Amen. And I've had to weed some of them out. Why? Because, see, you want something to go a certain way. You want your life to go a certain way. The Word of God tells us very clearly, whatever you do, do it for God and do it with your whole heart. Half-hearted efforts don't get us anywhere with God. Anger must be worked out of your life, your heart, your head, your actions, because anger is the bridge to sin. Has anger gotten the best of you? Think about that. What does God want? Our best. Has anger gotten the best of you? Are you angry about something? A real good indication is on your very worst day, when you have your bad days, if you go to some place in your mind or something that happened and you go there every single time, you're still angry or hurt about that. And you have got to get that worked up outside of you. You've got to get that out, because it is poison and it will mess with every aspect of your life. God didn't say you can't be angry, but what he said is that you cannot sin in your anger. And so many Christians are stuck in a rut because they're angry. Are you having an anger problem? The Word says here, and God warns Cain. He said, you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you. Sin is waiting to attack you. In another translation, it says, sin is crouching at your door, waiting for you. Now, I've got a little puppy, and his name is Samson, and I love this dog. This dog is the best little guy. He bit me on the nose yesterday, and I wanted to slap him, and I did slap him a little bit, but this dog is just the best little guy ever. But one of the things that he has started doing is he has started crouching down, and he waits for anybody to come in that room, because the first second somebody comes in that room, he is going to pounce on them. That's exactly how sin is. When we allow anger to come in and to stay, we're also allowing sin to be right there at the door waiting for us. I'm going to ask right now if Frank and Tyler and Brother Sam will come. We are going to do what I promised we would do every first Sunday of the month, and we are going to have communion. And I can't think of a better topic y'all begin to distribute those. Brother Samuel, get this area here. Frankie will get the middle. Do you have some anger in your life today? I want you to sit there because, see, the Word says that before we partake in communion, what we need to do is examine our life. I'd like you to bow your head. Examine, is there anything in there between you and God that you need to ask His forgiveness for? Is there anything in your life that you say, God, this is coming in between us and I need to confess it out right now, just between you and I.